ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So today we continue reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 71. The Lord travels to Indraprastha, text 25. Drishtva viklina ridaya.
Drishtva viklina ridaya.
Drishtva viklina ridaya. Krishnam snehena pandava. Krishnam snehena pandava. Chiradrishtam priyatamam. Chiradrishtam priyatamam. Sasajeta puna puna. Sasajeta puna puna. Drishtva viklina ridaya. Krishnam snehena pandava. Chiradrishtam priyatamam. Sasajeta puna puna. Drishtva, seeing, viklina, melted, ridaya, his heart, Krishnam, Lord Krishna, snehena, with affection, Pandava, the son of Pandu, Chirat, after a long time, Drishtam, seen, Priyatamam, his dear most friend. Sasvaje, he embraced him. Atta, thereupon. Puna puna, again and again. Translation. The heart of King Yudhisthira melted with affection when he saw his dear most friend Lord Krishna after such a long separation, and embrace the Lord again and again. It's interesting, this word puna puna, again and again. In this case, it's referred to Maharaj Yudhisthira embracing Krishna. In the Bhagavatam, there's another also phrase puna 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 chavita chavananam, chewing the chew. That's the difference between the devotees and the non-devotees. Both, whatever the object is, both don't have enough of it. The devotees, like Maharaj is here, after long separation, they just cannot have enough of Krishna. That when he's embracing Krishna, he just want to embrace Krishna again and again. The same thing when your devotional service. When one is really absorbed in his devotional service, you just want to do it again and again and again. That's called rasa. That's a taste. The devotees actually get rasa. They actually get taste when they serve Krishna, when they engage in devotional service. Therefore, there's enthusiasm, the eagerness to engage in such transcendental activities again and again. But whereas non-devotees, they also punapuna, chavita chavana. They're chewing the chew. Not so much because they got a taste. There's no rasa in the material world. But there's an expectation. There's an expectation of enjoyment. Therefore they chew and they chew and they chew, hoping that some, if they chew enough, they'll get the juice. They used to give the example that used to be given is the cows. Those of you who have been to India, you know the cow. In India, everything is recycled many times. So by the time it's discarded, you practically cannot use it. If it can be used, they will squeeze the last drop out of it. So similarly, these people who are selling sugarcane juice, they put the sugarcane through the grinder. Nowadays they have electric. They just put it through. Take it out, fold it, put it through, and fold it, and put it through. Until practically there's no juice left in the sugar cane, and then they throw it. The cows will come, and they say, oh, sugar cane. They'll come and they chew on it. Chom, 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 chom. Spit it out. Another cow will come. Oh, sugar cane. Pick it up, chew, 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 and shake it. So that stick, that piece of wood is chewed over and over and over and over again. So this is sums up the nature of the material world. People chewing, chewing, eating, sleeping, waiting, defending. Nobody really get any juice out of it. No rasa there. But the expectation is there. The expectation of enjoyment. Because that's the nature of the spirit soul. Ananda Maya Vyasa. By nature, we are seeking pleasure. Because by nature, the spirit soul is eternally engaged in transcendental loving service to Krishna. That's the transcendental pleasure that the spirit soul derived from. But being devoid of that, we are seeking in the wrong platform. I didn't remember very much from the Yishopanishad the first time I read it. But I never forget this statement that Prabhupada made in one of the purport. Enjoyment is there, but the problem is living entity is seeking on the wrong platform. So in this way, the chew and the chew and the chew, the parampara of material existence. How does the parents train up the children? They train up the children according to their perception of life. It's adnovit mate jagat. Everyone is acting according to the way they perceive things. The way they see things. So because they are not educated in science of Krishna consciousness, their whole goal in life is to enjoy material sense gratification. That's how they train up the children. They raise the children, they send the children to school. Yes, it's very important to get a good education. Get a good job, then you can earn a lot of money, and with a lot of money, you can enjoy. It's basically, that's what every parent is training their children. See, this is also the path that I've been following, but somehow, and on the dead bed, they say, I failed, but maybe you will succeed. In this way, the baton, you know, is passed on from generation to generation. But nobody has ever succeeded. Everyone failed. Everyone failed in this material world if their endeavor is to enjoy sense gratification. So, punapuna, the devotees, they are always seeking. Just like Maharaj Yudhisthira, Maharaj Parikshit, he's known as Parikshit, the examiner. Because when he was in the womb of his mother, Uttara, Ashwatthama sent a Brahmastra weapon to to destroy the last link to the Pandavas. The five sons of Draupadi were already killed. And now this is the grandson of Arjuna, son of Abhimanyu, in the womb of his wife, Uttara. And Abhimanyu is already killed in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he wants to kill the remain of the the Pandavas, besides the five brothers. And of course, Krishna, super soul within the heart, he appeared and warned of this danger. And Maharishi in the womb, he actually observed, he saw the super soul. And therefore, even after he was born, he was always looking. Is this the same personality? Is this the same personality who appeared in the womb to save me and protected me? Once he has seen the beautiful form of the Supreme Lord, he was always looking for the same Supreme Personality of Godhead. That shows that the association with Krishna is so satisfying. As it's mentioned in the one of the previous verse, like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira was always thinking of Krishna. That's the nature of the devotee. He's always absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Yet, when Krishna appeared before him, he was so eager. When he heard that Krishna has arrived in his city, he was so eager to go out to meet him. This is actually give life to the devotees. The devotees is always seeking for that opportunity to come in contact with Krishna. Again, it's rasa, the taste. That's why Rupa Goswami in this verse about the progression of devotional service, adau shraddha, tata sadhu, sangha, bhajana, kriya, starting with blind faith. In the beginning, there's initial faith, which may not be very strong. Based on that faith, one has to say with devotees, follow the direction given by the devotees, they engage in devotional service. Then later on, they take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master and take further instruction from the spiritual master. They become purified. They come to the stage of anatta nirittisyat, where the anathas, the contamination of the heart, is gradually become cleansed away. And when this contamination become cleansed away, you get taste, rasa, come to perform rasa. And as this rasa becomes stronger and stronger, they come nishna. Right? Rasa before nishna? Right? Nishna then rasa. Oh, nishna first. Then once faith, as the nathas become cleansed away, the one develops nishna. Then the real taste develops. We, in our present time, due to the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he very freely distributes this taste. We all got taste. If we don't have the taste, we would not have stayed. We would not have taken up the path of Krishna consciousness. But that taste is just the initial taste. But when we come to a place of Nishna, firm faith, this faith is not, there's no doubts anymore. Nishna means it's a faith, realized faith. Faith that is based on knowledge and experiences. We know. We know. Then, rasa, aruchi, the taste. You get a taste. The real taste of Krishna consciousness. And this taste, it's like Prabhupada explained, it's like cooking, sweets. As you cook, you get thicker and thicker. And the taste becomes sweeter and sweeter. So ruchi gradually develops into bhava, preliminary love of God. And it continues to sweeten and come to the platform of prema. Full love of Krishna. Krishna prema, that's the goal of everyone, to develop Krishna prema. So you see how this taste develops, and once a devotee gets this taste, he's always looking for it. He's always looking for the opportunity. In the beginning, we require so much rules and regulations to just keep us straight on the path of Krishna consciousness. But for the pure devotee who already developed this taste, they do not require rules and regulation. They are already spontaneously attracted. spontaneously they want to serve Krishna. So one has to understand that as long as we are not on that stage, we follow the rules and regulations of devotional service called sadhana bhakti. Those rules and regulations keep us on the straight path of Krishna consciousness. And as we follow that path, we gradually develop our Krishna consciousness and the taste will come, ruchi will come. Once you get this taste, you always want it. You want it more and more. And we have seen, actually, very often, people will come and take part in the Krishna conscious movement. And somehow, sometimes due to weaknesses of the heart, weaknesses of the mind, they may leave. But they cannot forget the taste. Even when they're out there in Maya, somehow they cannot forget Krishna. Therefore, this Krishna conscious movement is actually very dangerous. Once you get in contact with it, you're hooked. You're hooked for it for life. Not just one life, but eternal life. So if one wants to stay in the material world, don't come anywhere close to the Hare Krishnas. Don't come anywhere close to taking prasadam. Sometimes people think, just free food. Is Hare Krishna giving away free food? Or are they giving very cheap food? Let's go and take advantage. Yes, we say, yes, come. Come and take advantage. We love to be taken advantage of. And they come, they eat. But somehow something just hooked them. They just can't get hooked. And they cannot figure out what it is. So often we get people coming to Crossway and they ask, you know, I bought your cookbook and I tried. It's not the same. I cannot recreate the same taste. I said, oh, we have a very special ingredient, secret ingredient we don't put in the cookbook. It's called bhakti. There's mention of it, but it's not directly in the recipe. It's called bhakti. That spice is not mentioned in the ingredients. So that is what is missing in everyone's cooking. They cannot figure out what is it that is so special in this Hare Krishna food, which I cannot recreate. So in this way they get hooked, and they keep coming and they keep coming and they keep coming. And we are not worried. As long as they keep coming, they are making advancement. And someday, that bhakti in the heart will blossom. You know? The bhakti lata bish, the seed of devotional service already implanted in the heart. And one day, we're just under the right environment, that seed will take roots and will blossom. And will grow. And grow. So this is, this process of Krishna consciousness is actually very, very powerful. Whether it's in the form of distribution of prasadam, whether in the form of distribution of Harinam, the holy name of the Lord, in the form of distribution of the books, whatever. Any time the jiva come into contact with the Krishna conscious movement in any of this form, they hook. So just like when the people go fishing. I never like fish. I hate the fishing. But when they hook, the fish may struggle for a while. Sometimes they're very determined, they struggle for longer. But the more they struggle, the more they get hooked. And an experienced person, you'll let them give it some ropes and give the fish to run and swim a little here and there until they get tired. And then they reel it in. So the preacher is like that. It's not that when we bring the jiva to Krishna, it's not that immediately we try to give them the full force of the Hare Krishna philosophy or the whole full force of the Hare Krishna movement. It's too overwhelming. For a lot of people, they need to eat a lot of prasadam to get purified before they can even understand anything. Just like recently, we had one boy traveling. He came. And he was a bit, shall I say, mentally or intellectually not fully equipped. Shall I say this? And he comes, he does service, and some devotees just preaching and preaching to him. And when they're preaching, they stop the service. They're not doing service. I don't like it when devotees do that in the crossway. They have to come in and stop, and I said, look, you think you can get anything into his head when he's in that condition? If he last week? What you should be doing is just engage him, just let him do service and take a lot of prasadam. That's the only way he can get purified. If he last week, he's not going to touch him. He's just going 1 year and then, or not even what, going and out, he just bounced off the wall of the head. He's just not capable to comprehend all these philosophical concepts. Some very, very basic thing, just take prasadam. Just take prasadam, just do service. They'll get purified. And then gradually they'll come to a platform where they can actually start receiving knowledge. So the devotee is expert in that way. And how is the expert? That you can become the expert also, of course, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. But also when we are very focused on what is the whole purpose and what is the whole goal in our preaching. Can't you come to talk about preaching? We're talking about puna puna. Anyway, that's a good, nice topic. One has to be focused that when you're trying to bring someone to Krishna consciousness, it's not that you just pour out the whole thing. There should be a purpose. Everything we do has to be have a purpose. What does that person need to bring that him to the next stage? And now what does this person need to bring him to the next stage? And the next stage. In the corporate world, they also have this statement. Different stroke for different folks. Right? You don't apply the same principle to everyone. Different people, they are different. And you have to apply different principles to different people. Different people have different needs. And different capacities. So one has to learn and become expert in that. So, in this way, the devotee, because they got the taste, they're always seeking for more service. Give me more, give me more, give me more. I want more. So this is what we want to develop in our Krishna consciousness. The ruchi, the taste. That once you get, we get that taste, everything else pales in comparison. Even the controlling of the senses and the mind, in Bhagavad Gita is explained, it's not so much as trying to negate. We are not Mayavadis. Mayavadis follow the process of negation. Neti, neti. They're trying to try the spirit by negating the material. Not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this, not this. But while they are endeavoring not this, not this, not this, they're actually meditating on the same thing that they're trying to negate. You say in Bhagavad Gita, you should also say, aversion is another flip side of the coin of attachment. Just different side of the coin. And the more we think, oh no, 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 what are we meditating on? The same thing that we want to avoid. We get more attached to it. So Krishna recommends in Bhagavad Gita that one can avoid all these things by developing a higher taste. How does the words go? Param drisva nivatate. Param drisva. Here again, same word, drisva. How come drisva is seeing? But here is the translator seeing. It can also mean seeing. So param drisva nivatate. By developing a higher taste, one can give up the lower taste. So this is another reason why Krishna consciousness is so powerful. It's a very positive process. It's not a negative process. It's a very positive process. How do we give up eating a meat efficiently?
Just like experience.
Experience.
So part of the experience is higher.
Developing higher experience, higher taste. It's because of prasadam. We take prasadam. And what's the difficulty? You give me the word taste when we're tasting nice prasadam. And we have nice association. Let's just look at, examine every activity that we're performing. It's so nice, so tasteful. So by experiencing all these different activities in Krishna consciousness, one is able to give up the lower taste, the lower attachment to the material world. It comes quite naturally. Just with a little bit of endeavor, and it comes quite natural with it. But if we try to endeavor separately to become detached from the material world, it is not possible. Because this material energy is very strong. Very, very strong. So only one who is surrendered to Krishna, who is fully taking shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, can overcome this material energy. In fact, one who has taken shelter of Krishna, overcoming the material energy is a breeze. The whole ocean of material world becomes shrink to water contained in the hoofprint of a cow. One can just climb over it. So the jiva is in a similar situation with here. King Yudhishthira melted with affection when he saw his dearest friend Lord Krishna after such a long separation. We also been separated from Krishna for a long time. Now, of course, as Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj was saying yesterday, that long time is also maybe just be a fraction of a moment in the spiritual world. It's just a moment. But for us, in material, maybe billions and billions of lifetimes. Still, being devoid of the association of Krishna for such a long time after so many, many births, when the jiva again becomes redirected towards Krishna and get connected to Krishna, immediately you feel so much like, I'm home. Have you ever all had this feeling when we come to a Krishna movement? Or first contact, it's like there's a feeling like, I'm home. Anyone had this feeling? That was the feeling I got the first time I met a devotee. I said, I came home. It's like, you know. And it's amazing. How? And we know, sometimes after traveling for a long time, it's so nice to be home. It doesn't matter how beautiful all these places we go to are. How romantic, how exotic, how beautiful. But it's always home. That's why they call it home sweet home. It's nothing but like home. So it's the same thing for a living entity. No matter how attractive the material world seems to be, but when it finally comes home, you say, this is it. This is my home. And that all can happen when we engage in the senses with the master of the senses, Rishikesha, Sevanam, Bhakti Uchate. Definition of Bhakti is when one engages his senses in the service of the master of the senses. The Maharaj spoke about Amrish Maharaj yesterday, how he engaged all the senses in the service of Krishna. And when we just read from the sloka of Amrish Maharaj, how his devotional source was so powerful. This is from the 9th canto, chapter 4, text 18 to 20. Entitled Amrish Maharaj Offended by Duvasha Muni. Savaimana Krishna Padara Vindayo Vachamsi Vaikunta Gunanu Vanane Karauhare Mandira Majanadishu Shutim Chakara Sutim Chakara Chuta Sat Tathodaye Mukunda Lingalaya Dashane Drisal Tadbritya Gatra Svasika Sanganam Sangamam Granam Chatat Pada Saroja Saurabe Srimat Tulasya Rasanam Tat Apite Padau Hare Shetra Pada Nusapane Shiro Rishikesha Pada Bivandane Kamam Chadasye Natukama Kamyaya Yato Dhamma Sloka Janashraya Rati. Marsh Ambarish, always engage his mind in meditating upon the lotus feet of Krishna. First, he fixes his mind on meditating on the lotus feet of Krishna. His words in describing the glories of the Lord, his hands in cleansing the Lord's temple, and his ears in hearing the words spoken by Krishna or about Krishna. He engages his eyes in seeing the deity of Krishna, Krishna's temples, and Krishna's places like Mathura and Vrindavan. He engages his sense of touch in touching the bodies of the Lord's devotees. He engages his sense of smell in smelling the fragrance of Tulasi offered to the Lord. He engages his tongue in tasting the Lord's prasad. He engages his legs in walking to the holy places and temples of the Lord. His head in bowing down before the Lord, and all his desires in serving the Lord 24 hours a day. Indeed, Maharshi Ambarish never desired anything for his own sense gratification. He engaged all his senses in devotional service in various engagements related to the Lord. This is a way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desires. Powerful process. In the previous verse, it stated, Maharshi Ambarish was a great devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and of all of the saintly persons who are the Lord's devotees. Because of this devotion, he thought of the entire universe as being as insignificant as a piece of stone. Maharshi Ambarish was a king, the emperor. He has so much opulences that most people can only dream of. And yet, because of his fixation in the devotional service of the Lord, he considered the entire universe to be insignificant as a piece of stone. That's why in this verse they say, when one is engaging all his senses in the service of the master of the senses, that's the way to increase attachment for the Lord and be completely free from all material desire. So the process is to increase our attachment to Krishna. As our attachment to Krishna increases, our attachment to the material world increases simultaneously. And the way to increase our attachment to Krishna is to just continuously serve. Continually serving Krishna with all our senses and our mind. The more we come into contact, the more we become attached to Krishna. It's like anything else. The more we come in contact with it, we become attached to that object. Dato Vishapumsam Sangha Kansas. My circles off. That in the beginning, just begin with contemplation. Contemplating of the object of the senses. But as you contemplate on it, attachment develops. And then lust to enjoy it. And when the lust is not satisfied, we become frustrated. You become angry. You know, like people sometimes, they're very frustrated and angry all the time. Why? Because their desires have not been satisfied. And sometimes they may go into a relationship, but the nature of the relationship is that I scratch your back, you scratch my back. I get something out of you, you get something out of me. There's certain expectation of sense gratification. And when that has not been fulfilled, there's so much frustration, so much anger. We read it all the time. Relationship, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. Sometimes they just beat up, they beat up the girl. At one point they say, oh, I love you, you love me, oh, all this. And next moment they're beating up. Why? It's frustration, anger. The expectation has not been fulfilled. And then when it becomes one so angry, the mind becomes bewildered. Intelligence is lost. And one falls down to the material cesspool. So, but on the other hand, if we constantly contemplate on our devotional service as a form of meditation, our attachment to Krishna increases. So that's why we begin the day with chanting. It's such a special moment when we're chanting around. It's just between us and Krishna and nothing else. It's a very intimate moment between us and Krishna. We're just calling out to Krishna, calling out Krishna's holy name, just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Very intimate moment. And as we do that, more and more we develop attachment. Sometimes we may just doing out of duty, the taste may not be there, we're doing out of duty, but we should know it for certain that as we continue to do it more and more, that attachment will develop. The rasa, the ruchi will develop. It will come. So that's the way, when we develop our attachment to Krishna, then the attachment to the material world slacken. The chain of material existence around our neck will slacken. So thank you very much. And any comments?
Sorry, I missed the class, but when you say the material cesspool, because everything ultimately is the Lord's energy. When you mention the Lord,
yeah,
the material cesspool, you know, because ultimately everything is Lord's energy. So I just want you to elaborate a bit.
Well, wow, just like the Prabhupada should give the example, just like in the material world, you have the society and you have the prison. It's all created by the government. What do you prefer? You want to live in a free society or you want to live in the jail? The jail is for criminals. They are also citizens of the state, but they are criminals.
What's it got to do with the statement
about
material cesspools?
What do I do
with? I asked you to elaborate on the material cesspools.
Yeah, but they have different function. There's only one energy, the spiritual energy. But sometimes it manifests in the form of spiritual energy and material energy, according to different functions. So in the material world, are people who want to be in illusion. In the illusion that thinking that I'm the controller, I'm the enjoyer. And they try to enjoy the material, which is not possible. Because Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita, Dukkalayama Shaswatam, this nature of the material world is that it's miserable and it's temporary. That's a building block of this material cesspool, I say. So when we're in illusion, we try to be the controller and the enjoyer in this material world, and we constantly fail. We are in the illusion thinking that, you know, the glaring light of Maya is so attractive. It's just like the mote. The fly, they see the light and they just fly right into it and get burnt. So the jiva is the same thing. The glaring light of material energy seems to be so attractive and we fly right into it and get burnt each time. And what happens when we get burnt? Bad luck. Try again. We have to be determined. Now isn't that sometimes in the corporate world also they teach this kind of motivation and self-improvement? If you try hard enough, you will succeed. But they leave out the point of karma. If it's not your karma to succeed, it doesn't matter how many times you try. So although it's the creation of Krishna, it has different purpose. One is, everything is temporary in the material world, full of miseries, repeated birth and death will take place, the threefold misery. And on the other hand, as a spiritual world, which is such an ananda, and we have a choice to choose which one we want to go, which part of the energy you want to belong to. Okay, thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.